This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Today on the radio show, we got Jason Smith in the next segment, then Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Otherwise, it is me and Jeffrey hanging out with y'all. Jeffrey, I have a question. The question is this. What did you enjoy most last night? What did you enjoy most last night? Moment. I'll go moment or develop moment or development.
Personally, it would be Duke not scoring in the final 4 minutes to allow Arizona to cover. But I think obviously, just watching the Arkansas Texas Tech game, like I don't know how, if you like sports, you weren't at least enthralled in that.
So. What I enjoyed the most, what gave me the most delight.
The look on Cal's face?
No. Josh Giddey's shot.
Ah, that's a great one.
That one.
And the sequence that allowed Giddey's shot was pretty great, too.
It was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. I mean, because just yesterday, we were lamenting that the Lakers had had every opportunity to lose. The Pacers had had every opportunity to put away the Lakers,
yep.
Had effed around, and all of a sudden allowed LeBron to get the tip in, stab everybody in the back, give joy to L.A., which is a negative, and a pain to the Grizzlies, who are in a scrap with the Lakers, tied in the standings. And so for simply one night later, Lakers leading Josh Giddey to hit a half-court shot at the buzzer to beat the Lakers, there was no moment that gave me more pure delight and pleasure than that one. That was fantastic.
There's nothing wrong with that answer.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was fun.
Because also, like, LeBron was trying to contest it, and you could tell, like, there's a back view that I've seen where LeBron, like, just drops his head. Like, delightful.
It was absolutely fabulous. And the Lakers lose again to the Bulls, 119 to 117. Austin Reeves had given him the lead. And then Josh Giddey inbounds the ball. He's the inbounder, gets it back, lines it up. Like that is the shot that you see, you know, players taking
yep.
at practice, halftime, whatever.
Usually, like, right before
how
they
many times,
go into the tunnel.
Out of 10, how many times would he hit that shot? One? Just one, two?
The one that he needed to?
Just the one that he needed to?
The one that he needed to.
So that was absolutely delightful. Absolutely delightful. We'll get more to the Grizzlies in a moment, but I think you're right. As a general production, the Arkansas game, the Arkansas-Texas Tech game, which kept us up late, Jeffrey.
Yes, it did.
What time was it? I was up past my bedtime, I'll be honest, watching that.
So it ended at 12:53 Eastern time, so 11:53 our time.
Okay, so we like to discuss the toll that sports takes on you, how it is about pain, the mindset of fans.
Creative and interesting ways to
inflict
pain.
We look at things. I don't know, what did we talk about just earlier this week? My theory that there's a 10% percentage of any 10% chunk of a fan base that when their team loses in the postseason, even if just all of a sudden just want to fire people and hate their team, hate watch, hate think about their team. So we think about how fans process things. So tell me this. If you are an Arkansas fan, how do you think the majority of them are processing everything right now? And that is Cal, the season, the ending, the future. If you're an Arkansas fan, how do you consider this, having lost in OT when you had a 16-point lead? But it wasn't even the 16-point lead that was the real issue. It was the 13-point lead with 4:22 yeah. left. So if you're an Arkansas fan today, more pain, more joy, perspective, your thoughts.
Well, first you got to focus on the positives. Their baseball team's 23-3 and 5-1 in the SEC. So, okay.
And Arkansas fans will care about that.
Correct. Yeah. So you can turn your attention there.
I mean, they don't take solace in track, do they?
No, but they're very good at it.
I know they are. That's why I wondered if that could bolster their spirits. But just purely,
it's not really a spectator sport.
Purely looking at basketball, it is in Europe. Purely looking at the basketball perspective.
I mean, you just have to avoid it, right?
No, I really think this defines how you are as a fan. Because if you're one of the sunny side optimistic people, I think what you say is, this is a team that started 0-5 in the SEC. It was at one point, it looked like they were headed to disaster.
Yes.
To miss the tournament completely with the big payroll roster. And not only did they make the tournament, in Calipari's first year, they make the Sweet 16.
They killed Pitino.
And they beat Pitino. And although I don't think Arkansas fans hate Pitino, I think that's more a Cal Pitino thing. But yes.
But it is also like,
it's a feather.
Yes.
It's a feather. It's something you can put on your wall.
Correct. It's a scalp.
You beat a number two. And what you realize is going forward, having a lot of talent's a good thing because it can always come together by the end of the year. They have a lot of talent on that team. Having a lot of talent is a good thing. And so you should feel pretty good about the next few years under Cal too, I think. So if you zoom out big picture, you think this is pretty damn, plus it's not like you were going to win the national title this year. I don't think anyone thought like you're going to win the national title this year. So even had they won last night. So I think you're thinking this is good. I can deal with this. Sure. It was painful. Sure. It was a painful ending, but this is all good. And in fact, if you listen to John, and what was he going to say in the post game? It was all how much he enjoyed coaching this team.
Yep.
It was all good. It was all sunny. There is, though, the other perspective. And the other perspective is you had a 16-point lead with just a little more than 10 minutes left. It is the second biggest comeback ever in the Sweet 16 for Texas Tech. And not only that, again, you're up 69-56 with 4:22 left. You're up by 13 with 4:22 left. And you figured out a way to lose that game. Now, you had the right coach to do it.
Yep.
You did have the right coach to do it.
He does things unconventionally.
For Memphis fans, this is the painful part of the program. Because whatever you think of losing a 13-point lead with 4:22 left, it does not compare to losing a 9-point lead. It's funny how you measure it. Like, Tigers led Kansas 60-51, and it was with they scored to go up with 2:12 left. Okay, that's what it was. It was still 60-51 at 1:58.
Yep.
And then Kansas gets a bucket. Right. So technically, it was 9-point lead with 1:58 left, and you figure out a way to lose that game. There's 1,000 moments that you can play over in your head over and over again, including the Chalmers three at the end. Here, up 13 with 4:22 left. There's still not as many. It's not as condensed, but there's a lot of moments that you can play over in your head. And then you got the Dorian Williams three with 9 seconds left. Now, I don't blame Cal. What, 9 seconds? That's not a thing, right?
Yeah, I don't. I saw people are like, "That's why you foul up three."
No,
it's like
not
that's
with nine
way
seconds.
Too much time.
Way too much time.
Like the
so,
killer is the missing the front end.
Oh, there's no question. Missing the front end of the 1-1. I mean, the commonality here is foul shots.
Yep.
Richmond's turnover wasn't great. That
yep.
was another one. But to me, if you really want to circle anything, it's the missing the front end of the 1-1.
And the offensive rebounds for Texas Tech.
And the offensive rebounds for Texas Tech. And but here's the other thing. What honestly happened is Texas Tech had a bunch of shots. Like, if you look at why was Arkansas up to begin with, because in the first half, they hit a bunch of threes, which they don't typically do.
I mean, that was all the talk at halftime.
Yeah. And so, and
they
what
hit
happened?
Two in the
they
second half.
They didn't do it in the second half. And so some of this really was, it wasn't what Arkansas did. Yes, you lament missing the front end of the 1-1, but whatever, that will happen. That
yes.
does happen. To me, it's more...
They'd actually been pretty good from the free throw line all night.
It was more about what Texas Tech did. Honestly, it was like Dorian Williams. Like, Dorian Williams ended up 2 of 10 from 3 in that game, and he hit the massive 3 that he had to.
Yeah.
Which was a tough 3.
Yeah, I'll be the shield here for Arkansas fans. Just blame me. For anyone that used to watch the old BetQL show, I have an unbelievable habit of betting on history
mm-hmm.
and me losing in painful fashion.
Okay, so what was the wager?
I had Arkansas 5.5 and money line, but money line was going to be sweet because it was basically doubling my money.
Right.
And the stat was they read it at halftime. John Calipari in the NCAA tournament when leading by 6 points or more right. at halftime is 35-0. And at that point, I announced to my betting syndicate, it's over. Texas Tech is winning. It is decided.
Oh, it was
and
the
I
jinx.
And I did. I put it out on Twitter. I let everyone know this is trending. Take Texas Tech money line. Like, this is going to be hilarious. And just blame me, Arkansas.
Well, they can. They can. JT Toppin was really good. The hook started to fall. They're making shots.
They made shots. I think you hit the nail on the head. Because I think on so many of these, you go back and you're like, well, they should have done this. They should have done that. I didn't even have a problem not calling timeout on the last play because they didn't have the defense set.
Right. How did you feel about, so DJ Wagner had two opportunities, one at the end of regulation, one at the end of OT. Didn't even get the shot off at the end of OT.
I wish they would have given it to Jonnell Davis because I think he's a playmaker.
He certainly had a massive game. I recognize that, Jonnell Davis.
Correct.
You know?
But, I mean, Wagner hit a couple of tough ones. They did not hesitate getting him the ball.
Yeah, I don't think there is as much to kick yourself about here if you're an Arkansas fan. So I am pretty firmly on the side of that there is, if you're an Arkansas fan, and maybe I'm not representing the fan base, but I think there is more to feel good about, particularly in the season, and there's not that much to lament. I mean, the truth of the matter is, it does not compare to the Memphis pain from Kansas because that was a national championship game.
There's nothing.
You weren't going to win the national championship.
That's a different animal.
So that was great fun. That was great fun. The other games were, Florida, Maryland. Florida's great. Like,
yep.
What is there to say? Second half, Florida's great. They're deep. They rebound. They're massive.
They have so many ways to beat you.
They have so many ways to beat you. The bench outscored Maryland 29-3, rebounding 42-20. Like, Florida's really good.
Yep.
Not particularly entertaining. I'm not a compelling. It was obviously competitive in the first half. The Alabama BYU game. There, you just had the incredible threes by Alabama. 25 freaking threes.
I mean, that version of Alabama is a national champion.
How much of that version of Alabama, I mean, they get Duke next.
Yep.
Duke is a tremendous defensive team.
Yes.
Can you have that, quote-unquote, that version of Alabama? Is it possible for it to exist when it is playing a team that is good defensively, as good defensively as Duke.
I think you have to give Alabama respect and say it's possible because they have shooters. But to your point, BYU, I think, is like 280th in defending the three. So it was probably a better matchup than we realized. And then on top of that, you hold BYU, who has been shooting the absolute skin off the basketball, right. You hold them to 6 of 30 from three. And not only that, like, I've not seen so many air balls, like just horrendous misses like they did. Like, that version of Alabama is the version that everyone thought Alabama was going to be coming into the season.
That is right. Well, I don't even know that anyone could foresee 25-3,
yeah.
Which is four more than the Loyola Maryland
yes.
team had, you know, way back when. 25 of 51.
And really, it's really 25 of 50 because one of the ones was a half-court
right.
heave.
That was ridiculous. And Mark Sears, of course, 10 of them. He had been over his last six, and I'm sure you all heard this if you watched the game, 5 of 35. That stat has been repeated endlessly and comes out and hits 10. Just unbelievable. And BYU, as you pointed out, 6 of 30 from 3. I'm just going to say that one team is 25 of 51 from 3, and the other is 6 of 30 from 3. I'm going to take the team that is 25 of 51.
You would have been on the right side on that one.
It does set up an intriguing game to go to the Final Four.
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to feel
like the most anticipated game of the tournament so far, you think? Just because that version of Alabama.
I still think Patino-Cal.
Yeah.
And like, I understand it's not going to. This is going to clearly have bigger stakes, like, because those two teams can win a national championship.
And then Duke and Arizona. I mean, one thing we had last night was we had great players playing great.
Yes.
You know, Sears, obviously, with 34 was fabulous. And then in the Duke-Arizona game, Cooper Flagg, my God.
The half-court heave.
Totally calculated.
I wouldn't even say
nothing
half-court
lucky
heave.
He
just pulled off from like 40.
Yeah. 30 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks. One steal. It's basically playing point and one turnover. Not since Dwayne Wade have we seen anyone with a 25-5-5-3. 25 points, 25 or more points, 5 or more rebounds, 5 or more assists, and 3 blocks in the same game in the NCAA tournament. Cooper Flagg was unbelievable. But all the talk yesterday, and I think I heard you see this as well, is that if Arizona had a chance, it would be Caleb Love going off.
And he did.
And he did.
It didn't matter.
And it mattered in terms of making it entertaining.
Sure.
Got to 5 at the end. Caleb Love, the 10th time he has played Duke, 35 points. Now, so it's fun to watch greatness. It's fun to watch Cooper Flagg. It's fun to watch Caleb Love go off. That was an atrocious, ugly game with the 46 fouls. Like, come on, man. That was ridiculous.
The game had absolutely no flow. And, like, the thing about Newark was the earlier start time. And I think by the time we got down to, like, the last 10 minutes, the San Francisco games had caught up
right.
to the Newark games.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And so everyone's going deep into their bench. Malik Brown gets put back in for
yeah.
a few minutes. I guess fittingly, Duke, in the end, their free throw shooting, it was Cooper Flagg and then their free throw shooting, 23 of 27, including 9 of 10 in the last 2 minutes. That's some pretty clutch play
yeah.
From Duke. And so they win it. So it was... I mean, let's be honest. The Arkansas-Texas Tech game is what made it memorable.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was fine. That's what made it memorable. Tonight, Ole Miss-Michigan State. Locally, we got Ole Miss-Michigan State, and we got Kentucky-Tennessee. The Ole Miss line, the last I saw was Michigan State 3.5. The Tennessee line is 4.5. What do you...
I just don't... And again, I could eat my words and... This is somebody who had Arkansas on. I just don't see Tennessee losing 3 straight times to Kentucky.
Right. So that's fun. And then you've got You got Purdue, Houston. That's an 8.5-point line. And then the Auburn game is, I think, 9.5 is the last I.
I'm trying to pull up. I'm trying to pull up today.
So it's been good. It's fun. Listen, it's a tournament. It's a lot of fun. And we got more of it tonight. I don't know if Memphis fans are particularly rooting against Ole Miss and against Tennessee. Probably, right? I'll say this. I don't root against John Calipari anymore. I just don't. It's mostly because he's not at Kentucky anymore. He's moved on and whatever. I'm appreciative of what he did. People will say, wasn't it fun watching Calipari? No, I don't really. If anything, I kind of root against all the SEC teams winning. I don't really want all the SEC teams to win, so I didn't mind that an SEC team took a loss last night. But then I like Arkansas. I like Arkansas fans. I like, you know, Chris Harrington. Hell, he roots for Arkansas. So I was not rooting against Arkansas like people think, like I have some great vendetta. It's just be a long time to carry a grudge against Calipari. I was not rooting against Calipari. And particularly for Ole Miss, this is kind of magical.
I mean, this is absolutely insane because when I look at the roster, I don't sit there and go, duh, that's a Sweet 16 right. team.
No, I think your point earlier that if there is a Cinderella in this team, in this Sweet 16, there's a strong argument that it's Ole Miss.
Back to your Cal point, though. You know what this year was a reminder of for me? He's at his best when he really is
the underdog.
Yeah.
And he turned himself into that by the way the season started.
Correct. And again, I'm not making the point like, oh, look at that Cinderella. Like, duh, we all know that roster underachieved.
Well, it's crazy that it took this long for Janelle to look that good.
Correct.
You know, like some of his early lines were ridiculous.
100%. But like, you just realize when he really does get to do the back against the wall, that is when he's at his best.
All right, so that was fun. We'll talk more about that with Jason Smith in the next segment. As far as the Grizzlies, Jeffrey, I would like you to consult your because this is an everyday thing with me now.
You want your playoff probabilities?
This is an everyday thing right now because 2 days ago, I was really quite worried about the Grizzlies falling into the play-in, and then yesterday, I felt a little bit better about it, and today. It's not, listen, the Lakers thing was great. Josh Giddey hits the half-court shot, 47 feet.
Quite
Lakers
helpful.
Lose. That was great. That was tremendous. But here you are now. Grizzlies are tied with the Lakers for fourth and fifth.
Yep.
But they are 2.5 ahead of Golden State, and they are 2.5 ahead of the Clippers. If both pass them, then the Grizzlies will be in the play-in. And the Lakers, either the Lakers will likely have the tiebreaker. So the Lakers will either stay even, whatever. And so if both of those teams pass them, they will be in the play-in. Tonight, just so you know, Golden State has the Pelicans and the Clippers have Brooklyn. So there is a very strong probability that when we wake up tomorrow morning, the Grizzlies, with 9 games left, their lead to stay out of the play-in will have been shaved to 2 games, and they've got 3 games coming up with the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Warriors. Maybe I'm just wired this way, but I am officially worried.
So Basketball Reference says the Grizzlies are likely to go 5-4 in their remaining 9.
By the way, I would take that. I literally thought about it today. I would because if someone else can go 7-2, knock yourself out.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, I think if you offered 5-4, you should take it.
I would lock it in.
I agree with you on that. That means currently the Grizzlies have a 93.9% chance of remaining outside of the play-in and a 6.1% chance.
But what you're doing is you are stipulating that that's the way, if that's what happens, then they will have a 93-point-whatever chance. But what is the chance of that happening? Does that build in the probability of them being 5-4?
Your take. It's basically what they're doing is they're running a bunch of simulations for every team, and they're saying these are the most likely outcomes of what the standings will look like.
Okay, but the point is that this is, okay, the most likely outcome is they go 5-4. And if that outcome, if that's the outcome, they have a 94, what was it is?
93.9
chance of staying out of the
play-in.
But what if they go 4-5?
They would still, even if they go 4-5, that would still put them comfortably outside the play-in. They would need to go, basically in these last nine, they need to go 3-6 or worse. And really,
what
is
3-6? What does 3-6 do?
3-6 at that point. Of course, it's all dependent on everybody else.
Of course it is, but we're looking at probabilities here. Yes.
So 3-6 would put them at a. That would put them in seventh.
What percent chance if it's seventh would it be?
So they have a 4.1% chance of being seventh and a 2% chance of being eighth. And largely that's because it's so jumbled at the back end.
No. If they went 3-6. If they went 3-6, they have a much, you're saying they have a large chance.
I don't have it calculated based on that.
Yeah. All right. I'm officially worried. You don't have to be. Chris Harrington probably won't be, but I am. Golden State's got the Pelicans tonight. Clippers got Brooklyn tonight. That could be down to two slim games with nine games remaining. Lakers Saturday. We got a new biggest game of the year, Jeffrey?
Yeah, game of the year.
Celtics Monday and Warriors Tuesday.
That's game of the year 2.0.
Another game of the year.
Yep.
Does it become, if you can beat the Lakers and the Celtics, it becomes less of a game of the year, though?
No, it's still the Warriors.
Still. Oh, my God.
It's still him.
This is
I'm not
big.
Talking about Steph.
Like, this is big. This is gut-wrenching stuff. We did last night. It was really quite remarkable.
A competitive 20-point loss?
Well, shockingly, they're up 99-97 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have your battery of television, so I'm flipping back and forth and keeping track on my phone, and they're up 99-97 in the fourth quarter, and they lose 125-104.
Yeah, also, I'll put my hand up on this one. It was not when they took the lead, but the whole time I was like, I kept waiting for that Oklahoma City run that we saw at the end because they just kept hanging around. I was like, oh, they're kind of competitive. And I finally said that out loud, and then immediately the Thunder just went nuclear.
Drew Hill over the Daily Memphian wrote about how this is, you can draw positivity from this. They were feisty, they played well.
Sure.
Is that, though, I did think about this. Is it ultimate disrespect? Like, back in the day, when the Grizzlies were an expansion team.
Yep.
This would happen all the time. They weren't an expansion team, but they were effectively one. They'd moved here from Vancouver where they stunk, right?
Yes.
And so they come here, they're basically a brand new startup, and they're terrible. And this was what would happen. You would hang around until the other team became serious. And in a way, it was disrespectful. It was evidence of the gap between you as much as anything else. And then occasionally what you do is you'd really catch a team napping and you'd beat them, right? And
beat LA.
It beat LA. But is that like, it was this Oklahoma City getting serious and that's that. Boom. From 99-97 up to 125-104. That is a 28-5 run to conclude the matter.
Is it disrespect? I don't know, but what I kept feeling watching it was...
I didn't ever think they were going to win.
I never thought they were going to win. I also don't know if I would have thought they would have gotten beaten by 20.
I certainly would not have assumed they would lose by 21, no.
But I do think it was a reminder of, like, I don't know how seriously the Thunder took the Grizzlies. I mean, they've beaten them three times.
That's what I mean. That's the disrespect. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But how seriously did they take them?
I think it also shows to me, it's like the gap between... The gap between the Thunder and everyone in the West feels like the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. We did get a job update from Taylor Jenkins. He's in the day-to-day phase. So what is that? What do you
make
of
that? Are we play groups there?
He's progressing in his workouts.
Are we back in vitamins? Are we taking vitamins?
He's working his tail off. What do you think? I don't think it means we're going to see him. I think they're going to play the game of the year.
Yeah, I would be surprised...
In any of these games.
Maybe we'll see him late next week. Maybe. I mean, I also imagine a certain part of it would be dependent on, I would think, the standings. Like, if they think they're just going to be kind of where they wherever they are, I would imagine they're going to say, we're not going to risk it. We'll see.
Well, at some point, you say, we'll just, if we got to get a play-in, got to win a play-in game, then we'll do that. Right?
100%.
Have a healthy jaw.
Like, that seems to me their priority.
I would rather, if this is the choice, nothing's black and white.
Right.
But I would rather have the Grizzlies in the play-in with a fully healthy jaw than I would the Grizzlies sixth with jaw missing.
I think that's
the
fair.
First three games of the playoffs.
And I think that's the decision that they're making.
No, you're in the Cooper Flag. You lose the play. You can always be in the Cooper Flag. You can always be in the Cooper Flag.
I've never seen someone
pivot
0.9%.
Yeah, I know. It's inconsequential. The only way it actually would matter to me is the only time the 0.9 would happen is if you had given up the pick. Then there's a chance that the 0.9 would come true. And because then that's
the 0-3 draft.
Exactly.
The
but otherwise, yeah. If you actually own your pick, yeah. There's no chance of you cashing on a 0.9. If you've traded away the pick, then that 0.9 becomes roughly 70%
yeah.
chance.
It's
that's the way the world works. That's math. That's yep. just how math works. Mm-hmm. Some of you may not understand math the way that I do, but that is the way that it works. It was a fun night, though. It was a fun night, and we have a massive weekend in front of us. A massive weekend for a whole bunch of reasons, including we got the NCAA tournament, we got the Grizzlies game of the year, and Jeffrey, we got the Showboat Sunday.
Yeah, we do.
You know who they're playing?
Maybe. The Michigan Panthers.
Michigan Panthers. Nailed it. Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back talk to Jason Smith. On the other side is Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN. So the Touchdown Club is having a spring speaker series. This is kind of fun if you're ready for a little college football. Greg McElroy is going to be coming. Tyler Siski is going to be here. Cole Kubelik and Roman Harper, all as part of the Touchdown Club spring football speaker series. Four different events. Meetings are at the Hilton Memphis Hotel, 5:30 p.m. on Mondays, starting, they're May 19th, June 2nd, June 9th, and June 16th, just in time to get you fired up for football. There's a social hour, Q&A with the speaker, and you can purchase a membership package for all four spring events for $350. All you have to do is go to the website. Go to memphistouchdownclub.com, memphistouchdownclub.com, or you can call Kim Gordon at 901-237-1312, 901-237-1312. Again, it's the spring speaker series from the Touchdown Club. They've got some terrific guests for this spring. Joined now by Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day from 11 to 2. So I was driving around yesterday listening to Jason John, as I do. And I got to hear about the early days of Brad Carson's romantic life at the drive-in movie theater. That was some content, Jason. And so he went to the drive-in in Illinois. And we bring this up because the Malco drive-in may be done. It seems to be for sale. And so he was reminiscing about his early romantic days. Do we think he lost his virginity at the drive-in?
By the look on his face, it looked like it. He certainly did some questionable things.
He was yeah.
He had turned red. It was a story he clearly wanted to tell. He wanted to spill the beans. He wanted to kiss and tell. So something happened in the
Illinois drive-in.
In the pickup, Southern Illinois. Close to the farm driving.
Yeah, yep. that was.
You could imagine. I pictured Kevin Bacon in Footloose. You
know? that was a revelation.
That town that they were in. All his white buddies in the truck, and then they all go with the girl. You know.
Well, anyway,
fun to think about, huh?
Yeah. Oh no, real lot
you
of fun.
You got drive-in memories? Because I don't.
No. Okay. Drive-ins.
I don't either.
I went. Yeah. One, I've been to the summer
drive-in. Drive-in, they're dead. I didn't ever go, and they're dead.
I know there are people who really, there are people who really went to the summer drive-in and love it.
Absolutely.
And miss it. So I'm not, but I went once
for a while.
I went once with my kids. You know, I did that experience. So I did. Nice. I've only been once. And I think prior to that in my life, even though I'm older than you, grew up, I guess, more in the drive-in era. You know, we had real movie theaters, and I didn't.
Exactly. That's what you do. Go to the real movie theater.
I went.
I would just have my parents drop me off at the real movie theater, right? That's what you did. Meet the girl at the movie theater, whatever else. I don't know about you. We had raggedy cars, so it wasn't a deal where I was, you know, real eager to grow up, get my license, get out in our family car, because they were all terrible cars that you wouldn't want to pick up a girl in. And so my whole thing was drop me off the theater 30 minutes before the girl's supposed to get there. And look, you know, who knows how I got there? She doesn't care at that point. And come back and pick me up, about 30 minutes after the movie's supposed to be over. That's the way I handled business.
Okay, but did you put your arm around, like, would you try to make moves on a girl at the movie theater?
Of course.
Did you make out at a movie theater? Did you make out? It is like that was a thing. Is it still a thing? I don't think it's a thing anymore.
I probably got a couple kisses in there. I did not get dirty like Brad. I didn't. I just didn't do that. I didn't get nasty in the theaters or in the movies like Brad did in the truck. But a little kiss here and there, okay. Maybe a little feel.
Arm around. A little
side.
Feel.
You know
that's
how that goes.
Fair.
You know how that.
It's dark.
Nothing lewd, Jeff. Nothing.
It is amazing to think.
I was the kind of young man you
want to send your daughter to the movie theater with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to introduce me to your mother because I say all the right things. I'm a good young man.
Oh, all right. Moving on. If you're an Arkansas fan, how do you feel about things today? Life in general under Hill?
You have to be sick here early. And then as the day progresses, you will tell yourself, okay, it was a good first year. I mean, that's how the process is going to go. It was not a good first. I mean, you're going to say, okay, it was great because the turnaround was great. You love the way that team was defending. I mean, my gosh, you talk about, I mean, you come out of the best league in college basketball in the SEC, and boy, did sort of that toughening up, right? That process turned you into clearly one of the best teams in the country by the end of it. Like the way they improved from 0-5 at one point in the SEC to what they were, very impressive. And if I'm a fan, boy, that's exciting going forward, right? I mean, this at one point looked like you weren't going to be a tournament team. You'd be asking yourself whether we're turning down NIT our first year. But Cal didn't, whatever. That's where you were. And so, yes, eventually after this pain, because you did blow a double-digit lead there in that second half. And I was listening to you guys, Texas Tech. You have to give Texas Tech all the credit in the world. They made big shots after big shots. Like the kid's hook, like you mentioned, started dropping. Then the kid Darian, who hadn't been hitting anything all game long,
massive shot,
huge shots at the end. Ultimately, that's March Madness. That's the stage. People take it from you when you open the door. But let us not, you know, there is no debate. Arkansas clearly opened the door, and that's why Cal's, you know, getting the whole boy he blew it again treatment. It's far in terms of the, you know, the discussion shows, the debate shows this morning. All that. I think it was 35-0 what Jeffrey said it too, and I heard it at halftime.
Up by
six. They even joked about it as they left the studio to go back to the game. They joked about it that if Arkansas blew this, that it wasn't on him for saying the 35-0, the studio host there, whatever his name is, he's pretty good. Klefko, whatever it is. He said, that ain't on me. That's going to be on Arkansas if they do. And, man, if that wasn't it. And it's funny, Jeffrey's telling everybody at that point, man, go jump on Texas Tech money line. Because sure enough, and what did feel the same, Jeff, because I heard your comparison there in the open, was once it got to overtime, you knew they were going to lose, right? And isn't that how we felt?
Yes, but they were going to lose, but they didn't collapse in overtime.
No, they didn't collapse. But again, going into overtime, I'm saying that feeling, you've blown this.
100%.
You had the chance to close the door. Now that you've allowed them to walk through, they're probably going to do it. You're right. Arkansas didn't lay down and start that game. In fact, it looked like for a minute in overtime they might win it. But no. And, listen, Cal had with the way he turned that team around, the way they came together after the Boogie Flanagan, that's got to give you a lot of confidence. You know, you got all the NIL in the world.
That's the thing.
I mean, eventually, by the end of the day, you will tell yourself, "Well, we made Sweet 16, Cal's first year. We're going to be just fine."
And we're going to keep getting talent, and talent 100%. Will find a way with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, all right. So, how are you feeling about the likelihood of? Are you as concerned? Jeffrey is not particularly concerned about the Grizzlies falling into the play-in. I am. Are you?
listen, you heard this probably on our show, and you certainly heard it from John. I heard it in some of y'all's discussions. We're kind of past the panic stage. We've been telling you this is a dumpster fire since the trade deadline for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And so I say that, Jeff, not to say, oh, we're ahead of everybody. No, it's to say this. I'm kind of excited here about getting some clarity in terms of what you're going to do to fix this, right? 9 games left. We can sit up here and spend the next 9 talking about, okay, if you can get job back, he's day-to-day, maybe you can turn it around. First round series, can you win it? But the truth is, this organization from the, you know, the coach, whatever, certainly, I mean, that's the
you've moved to the postseason. You've moved to the summer already.
I have moved to what are the changes going to be, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about, okay, are they going to get this right? Because if you, because listen, and I talked about this with Brad and John, I think I convinced them. You guys tell me, if they win a first round playoff series, which is still a great possibility, because if you get the Lakers, we're watching. They don't have any rim protection. Their defense is it's coming back to where we thought it would be when they made
the trade.
They
also don't have any 47-foot protection, it turns out, the Lakers. I mean, any of that either.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, LeBron can't make that shot go in, but I swear I've been making the case that they've been manipulating the standings. But did you watch LeBron those last 10 seconds throw the ball away on the inbound pass? Man, I mean, he was doing stuff that looked just, what are you, but I realize he's got the rust and everything. Something about that didn't look right. Again, he can't make Giddy hit that shot. But I think they are perfectly fine with facing 4-5. Back to my point. Uh-huh. You can beat them. You can beat the Lakers. Just say you get up for it. Let's say you go ahead and beat them. They're old. Luka doesn't play defense. They don't have any rim protection. If that means you keep Taylor Jenkins, then what I would tell you is that's more of the same going into next year, and that's where I start to say, well, I'm less excited. You know,
you're to the point
about,
you don't want them to succeed, which is a place where the fan base, fans get
you,
because you want big changes.
Brother, last night, that game's what, 97-99, but it's 99-99, right around there where he takes Jaren out, puts Edie in, and at one point takes, here it is, it's Edie out for Huff. And then it takes Jaren out and puts in Santi. And so Jaren is not on the floor. It's 17-0. They don't score for what, 4 or 5 minutes? I mean, it felt like it. And you said it ends up 28-5. But your stars aren't even on the floor in crunch time when the game's running away from you. Are you even, what's going on out here? They've shown some effort here first half, last night for 3 quarters. You know, against some better teams, but you're still not beating them. You're losing to the bad ones, and you've lost your identity. But especially,
I'll be honest, it doesn't feel to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but it does not feel to me. We don't know what their internal discussions are. We certainly can't read the mind of Robert Pera. It doesn't feel like to me that Taylor Jenkins is going to be back on the old new voice thing. You know, like
the fact that you are the fourth longest tenured coach, I believe it is in the NBA. It's either fourth or fifth. I think it's fourth behind Mike Malone. Yeah, Pop Spoelstra, Mike Malone. I think it's Taylor after that. And you have one playoff series win. Now, this would be two, but I tell you, that'd be a mirage if you get past this aging Lakers team, because the likelihood is you're going to get smoked in the semis. The way this team's playing, you're 21st. What is it? 22nd defensively since the trade deadline. That part of you's dead. So you likely get smoked. And what if you convince yourself, okay, well, he got a second playoff series win. Let's keep going. I tell you, that'd be more of the same. Does Ja believe in this? Do these stars believe in this? What did you see Bane last night? Looks like he's checked out. That's going to require a new voice. So I'm excited about getting some sort of finality. I talked about that yesterday. Some closure. Getting through this 9. At first it was, are we going to see some urgency out of this team? Well, they've shown us that for the most part, it's not going to be there down the stretch. And so let's get to the end. Let's see what it looks like. And I'm not real sure. I won't be rooting against the Grizzlies. So Taylor Jenkins gets fired. What I'm ready to do, Jeff, is get to the end and let's see what happens. Because again, I'm looking at front office. And I'm saying Taylor Jenkins and him not getting the job done and ultimately is on you. And this roster and where it is right now, not having the right pieces, is on you. So ball's in your court. You're going to keep doubling down on youth, or are you actually going to go out and try to really be a contender? That's what I'm eager to get to. And I'm actually not, you know, excited about it, because I think, again, you get the right coach in here. You get the right guy for Ja that can help grow him, mature him, turn him into just taking him to the next level. I think, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, raises all boats. And I'm excited about possibly finding out who that guy's going to be. I've even talked about it. Tayshaun Prince got to be able to help you go find that guy. He's got more relationships in this league in terms of identifying who that guy is, knowing who that guy is, finding that Ime Udoka type who was a role guy, but he's been this up and coming. He's on somebody's bench. Is it Sam Cassell? Can you go check out, interview Damon Stoudemire? You know, he's certainly of that Udoka breed, and he's been on benches before. He thinks of himself as an NBA coach. You know, those kinds of guys, I think, are the ones that are going to take Ja to the next level. Not a guy who's going to dance with him and is more worried about the relationship. Hey, we got to keep him happy, so we keep him here. You've got to get a guy who's going to coach him and is less worried about keeping Ja here. He is taking him up to the next level, man, whatever that looks like. You know,
are you
getting that SGA out of Ja? Where SGA is.
Final last topic, just to get your clarity on this. How optimistic are you about the Memphis Tigers basketball team heading into next year? The state
I'm optimistic.
Of
I'm optimistic because of the growth we saw in Penny. I am cautiously optimistic because you're flipping the roster essentially every year, and that's gambling. I mean, you just are. You're gambling on, man, are we going to get chemistry right again when you've got to bring in so many new faces? And we saw it. You can have it right early. You can have it right for half a season, or at least think you do, and it can still fall apart. This year was great because ultimately it was his best season. You did what you were supposed to do, won the conference titles, went to the NCAA tournament. You left too much on the table, but in the end, much like we're talking about with Arkansas, you saw Penny grow. And so you're hoping that growth continues. Now, Jeff, the clear thing, man, I'm telling you, it killed him in that second half. Clean up these turnovers. It's got to become part of your program, because the turnover issue has plagued you for now 7 years, and it ended up coming back to kill you. I know not having Tyrese is a part, but look at Tyrese Hunter's turnover percentage. It's just as bad as everybody else. They don't have anybody in the top 50 of the AAC, bad conference, in turnover percentage. My point is just you have to take better care of the ball if you're going to make that second weekend run, because that's where the possessions matter more. And but back to your question, Jeff, I'm confident because we saw that growth in Penny. He knows those numbers. He's seen them. He knows they've got to clean that up. And I truly think, Jeff, they get that cleaned up, man. You are close. He's the right guy at the right time in terms of this NIL era. Everything you wrote about seems like they've got what they need. Now go find the right players, you know, get the right chemistry and go get them. But clean up an area. Maybe to some it's a smaller detail, right? Because there's so much talent. I can get through the turnovers. But the fact is, it's been hurt. This is an area, if you're truly looking in the mirror and you're talking about, I'm no longer cutting corners, this is an area you got to clean up. The teams in the country, the best teams that make the Sweet 16s, they don't turn the ball over this much.
Jason, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Take care, brother.
Jason Smith, Jason and John, every single day from 11 to 2. There you are. So that's interesting, Jeffrey. I was ready to talk to him about the remaining 9 games. He's straight on to the postseason. He's to the offseason and the summer.
I do wonder, because I'm with Jason. I don't think it's like some insane thought to think that the Grizzlies could win a first-round series. Like, I think what we're seeing is, after Oklahoma City, all of these teams are flawed. So things could break the right way. I do wonder if they win the first-round series, does anything change?
I mean, here's the truth. We don't know. Like, we don't know any of this, because how would one possibly know?
Well,
like, Robert Parra is thinking
internally.
You've
pointed out time and time again, we have the big question mark in all this is, what is Robert Parra?
Yeah, so that's the only real question. Like, whatever. It feels like to me, but again, it's total speculation. It feels like to me that this will be a summer when something changes in terms of the structure of the franchise, not just you know, bringing in the fringes of the roster, right? It feels like this is something where in the coaching staff or in the front office, something will change. The way that normally goes is there's coaching change first, and then a couple of years later, if it doesn't work, there's front office change. I do think you can ask a serious question as to whether, where is the to the extent that this has been disappointing, and it clearly has been certainly lately, is the disappointment.
Where does the fault lie?
Is it coaching disappointment? I think there's unquestionably we see coaching disappointment, but I also think, does he have such a great roster he's working with now?
I mean, name another team that's trying to do this with rookies.
With rookies and guys who are on 10 days?
Yeah.
And guys who are like, come on, man, seriously?
And
guys?
His best players played 41 games.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's so maybe there'll be, who knows what kind of changes there will be. I don't think a first-round playoff series will change that, will forestall that. It wouldn't if I were an owner, right? It wouldn't if I were, I don't think, now a deep playoff run might be able to change that. You know, whatever, get to the Western Conference Finals. I do think you get a little bit of a harder time, although they let Lionel walk after that.
Different regime, though.
Yes, clearly, but like, yeah. So I think maybe, but I don't, I'll be honest, I've kind of ruled out a deep tournament run. I mean, a deep playoff run. Like, it's not.
Oh,
look at the roster. Lamar Stevens is going to carry him to a, you know, Gigi's going to come bounding back. And
I do think it's possible they could win one series.
One series.
I do not think it's possible they could win multiple series.
No, I don't either. And so I guess my point is that I am, like Jason, I'm really intrigued by what's going to happen this summer. I'm not really focused on that yet. That's my point. I'm still focused on the next nine, on extracting joy out of this, the end of this season, out of making the playoffs, hopefully, out of winning a playoff series, hopefully. I think all that is still within the realm of possibility. All right. If you are looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to look. We were talking to the folks from Leaders yesterday. And there, they got the new branch in Bartlett. They got the new branch in Arlington. But the truth of the matter is, you've got a branch right in your phone because their technology is so tremendous. It's an unbelievably easy to use app. You could do anything except that it won't dispense money. Your phone won't dispense cash. But here's the thing: Leaders has access to 85,000 ATMs, fee free ATMs across the country. So you got no problem having your cash dispense from Leaders. If you want a car loan, you may need a car loan, given the way things are going. You may need a bigger car loan, the way things are going, or you need a home loan, or whatever it is. Just need a new financial institution. You've moved to town. Maybe you've got a kid who's starting to open up a bank account. Whatever it is, Leaders would be the place to look. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Chris Harrington.